You found Wisconsin's local music authority. This is Mag Sync Radio. We are local music.
Hey, everybody. Welcome back to Mag Sync Radio. I'm Rocker here with Jane.
Hello.
On the phone with us, we have a very special guest. Halloween is coming. And, of course, you know, Everybody dresses up like one of their favorite serial killers, right?
Right.
Criminologist, producer, best-selling author, and serial killer expert, Dr. Scott Bond, has profiled, corresponded with, and interviewed some of the most infamous killers of all time, including Ted Bundy and Jeffrey Dahmer. Scott provides insights into the motivations, fantasies, and compulsions of infamous serial killers and explains the differences between psychopaths and sociopaths, which is something I really need to know, right? Mm-hmm. On the phone with us right now is author of best-selling book, Why We Love Serial Killers, The Curious Appeal to the World's Most Savage Murderers, is Dr. Scott Bond. Scott, welcome to Mag Sync Radio.
Well, thank you for having me on. It's great to be here.
Hey, did you get off the road okay?
Yes, I did. I pulled over on the side of the road.
Yay!
Oh, perfect.
I'm all yours.
Where are you right now in the world?
Well, I'm in Peekskill, New York. I'm actually doing my one-man show, Serial Killers with Dr. Scott Bond, here tomorrow night, right here in Peekskill, New York.
Awesome. Oh, we'll be talking about that in a minute. Scott, did you grow up watching horror movies on Saturday nights?
Yes, and not just Saturday nights, sometimes Friday nights and Thursday nights, too.
I knew it. It had to be that way. Well, Scott, tell us your backstory. I mean, who is Scott Bond, and how did he get started as an author and an expert on serial killers?
Well, I sort of, you know, it's interesting because I come at this from both the criminological perspective as well as the media perspective. And my dad was a radio DJ. He's passed away, but he was also involved in television, in the news. Mm. He was a local audio engineer in Cleveland, Ohio. And so I sort of grew up, you know, in and around media, in and around news. And I was always fascinated by broadcasting. I was always fascinated by human behavior, why people did what they did. And yes, to answer your question, I love monster movies. And I was always drawn to the monsters who seemed to have some sort of a human appeal. Mm-hmm. And would have...
I wanted a man to be
I'm sorry, I had a distraction. Who had some sort of a human aspect to them, and human characteristics that you could identify with, like for example, King Kong, the misunderstood gorilla, Dracula, the misunderstood vampire. And I just thought that these individuals, these, you know, monsters, but with human qualities, were fascinating. So later on, I got into media myself initially in New York City, and I was involved with the news operation for a while at NBC Television Network in New York, and during the 90s, and it was there that I saw how cases like O.J. Simpson, the Menendez brothers, Johnny Versace murder, and of course Jeffrey Dahmer became larger than life, and how these individuals that I came to call celebrity monsters would just dominate the airwaves. And after 9/11, I left the advertising field, and I went on a personal journey interested in studying justice and criminology, got a PhD, and I became a college professor. And it was there that I began studying serial killers, and the whole thing just sort of came together for me, because as I saw how Jeffrey Dahmer, Ted Bundy, and some of the individuals that we've been talking about have become these like iconic symbols of evil in our society. And I was fascinated by why they did what they did. And I was also fascinated by why we seem to be compelled by them.
Now, Ted Bundy, Ed Gein, Jeffrey Dahmer, what's the biggest myth about serial killers that you debunk?
The one of the things that I do in my presentation, as you said, is I debunk a number of myths about serial killers, and the one that stands out as probably the most important and profound is the fact that serial killers are not one size fits all. They are not all the same. They do not all look and act like the Buffalo Bill character in Silence of the Lambs. That's often a stereotype that I get. They come in every race, ethnicity, gender, IQ, social status, you name it. But there is one and only one thing that unites all of them, and that is a fantasy-based obsession to kill that becomes a visceral hunger inside of them that beckons. And after years and years of nurturing it and fantasizing about it, only a killing of a complete stranger will satiate that hunger, that need. And that is the only thing that unifies them. And so the popular myth that it's always sex, sex, and more sex, and they all look and act the same, that's just absolutely not true.
Wow. Is there a story that comes to mind as fascinating that you learned about some of our homegrown serial killers here in Wisconsin, like Ed Gein or Jeffrey Dahmer?
Well, Jeffrey Dahmer, certainly. And well, Ed Gein, you know, he was really better known, I would say, as a body snatcher.
Yeah.
Technically, he was a serial killer. Technically, he was, because he killed two women.
So I thought he only killed one. It was
two women, yeah. And so technically, according to the FBI's definition, at least, mm-hmm. that would make him a serial killer.
Oh, I see.
But as we said, he's really better known as a grave robber and, you know, body snatcher. But what I was going to say to answer your question is really more about Dahmer. And Dahmer falls into a particular type of subcategory of serial killer, which is known as a hedonist lust killer. And in Jeffrey Dahmer's sadly twisted mind, he truly believed that he loved these 17 young men that he ultimately killed. And his goal was try to actually keep them alive. He experimented with all bizarre, terrible ways of trying to keep them alive, including drilling holes in their head and filling their head with detergent and bleach and things like this. But he was trying to create a sex slave. He was trying to actually create a living sex zombie. But in his mind, once again, he actually believed he loved these men. So when they ultimately died, and they did die, he thought to himself, is there a way that I can possibly keep them with me forever because they mean everything to me? And that's where he came up with the cannibalism. He believed that if he ingested them, digested them, that they would become part of him and be with him forever. So that was truly his motivation. His motivation both in killing as well as in cannibalism.
Why does Wisconsin have so many?
Well, you know, they have several of the most well-known, but in terms of just per capita, probably Long Island, New York has more.
Oh.
Beats out California, huh?
Yeah, that's what I was thinking, California, but I guess I was wrong.
You got Robert Schulman, you got Joel Rifkin, you got the Long Island serial killer that I was very involved in that case, profiling the unknown killer at that point, who now allegedly at least is Rex Huerman. So yeah, Long Island actually has more than its fair share. So, but yes, Wisconsin certainly does have a couple of the. You know, if there was a Mount Rushmore of this, probably a couple of them would be up there.
Oh man!
Why is the public fascinated with serial killers? Why do we make them famous? I mean, is this like Schadenfreude?
Yeah, well, you know, this is why I'm hoping people, when I do come to your area now, it's March 4th of next year, that people will come out and see the show, because I spend probably most of the time of the evening talking about this. And serial killers, what I believe is they appeal to our empathy. I believe that we humans are empathetic creatures, and we are drawn to both the good and the bad in the world, the dark and, you know, the light, and the, you know, good and evil. But it seems so many times that we're particularly drawn, almost like moths to the flame, to things that are larger than life and could do us harm and even kill us. And there are people who are drawn to, you know, following storms and tsunamis and earthquakes. Others are fascinated by great white sharks. We have a Shark Week on the Discovery Television Network every year. Well, guess what? We also have a serial killer week on the Oxygen Network every year. And so I actually say, and I, you know, this is right out of my, my presentation, but I believe that a serial killer like Jeffrey Dahmer actually has three things in common with another predator in nature, the great white shark. And the three things are that they are both extremely rare, extremely exotic, and deadly. And in the case of Jeffrey Dahmer, he also ate people. So that's four things in common with the great white shark.
Oh, wow. Oh, that's crazy. Mm. Well, who's the bigger demographic of followers of serial killers, men or women?
By far, women. 75% to 80% of my audience, everywhere that I go to speak, is comprised of women. And my friends at the various television networks that program only true crime, like Investigation, Discovery, and Oxygen, tell me that the audience is exactly the same, 75% to 80% women. And I think a lot of it has to do, once again, with the empathy factor, empathizing with the victims, also seeking to understand the predator. And in most of these shows, 48 Hours, 2020, Dateline, and all the podcasts, more often than not, the abductee or the murdered victim is a woman. And I think that women identify with that fact there, but for the grace of God go I, you know, in the victim's shoes, and they want to understand the mind of the predator. In order to feel safe and secure. I had a woman just the other night, actually in Clayton, New York, say to me, "Scott, you know, the last thing that I want to do is become a victim of the next Ted Bundy, but I certainly don't want to date him or marry him either. So give me some red flags, you know, tell me what I should be looking for." So I think that need for safety and security is particularly strong for women.
Now, Dr. Scott Bond, author of the best-selling book, Why We Love Serial Killers, The Curious Appeal of the World's Most Savage Murderers. Where can we find your book?
Well, two ways. One is you can go just to Amazon.com and type in the title, Why We Love Serial Killers, or go to my website, which is docbonn.com, docbonn.com. And it has information about my book, I do a podcast periodically, and I am touring the country, with my one-man show. And we'll be right there in Madison on March 4th.
March 4th. Well, you know, one crazy thing that we realized is that if we switch your name around, Bon Scott, that's the singer of AC/DC, and they did a tune about a serial killer called Night Stalker. How did that happen?
Yeah. Yes, and they also did Dirty Deeds Done Dirty.
Wow, that's awesome.
Yeah, it's so true. Yeah, and I was and still am a big AC/DC fan. So yeah, Bon Scott.
Perfect. Dr. Scott Bond, thank you so much for taking the time to speak with us tonight. We really appreciate it.
Absolutely. Thanks for having me.
And we'll try and get you back on right before your show comes in March, and we'll go through this again and have some fun.
Sounds good. Sounds good. Thank you so much.
All right, Scott. Thank you. We really appreciate it. Mm-hmm. Well, hey, let's check out a song by the Sunspot. Mike Huberty, you know, he leads ghost tours around Madison.
Mm-hmm. Oh, that's also my high school band teacher's band, Ben Yeager.
Yes, Ben Yeager. That's correct. And they did this song called The Strangest Frequency. And you might remember that the Frequency Bar, which is now the Gamma Ray Bar, that's haunted. I know for sure. Oh, I've been in that green room plenty of times. And I'm telling you, strange stuff happens down there. Let's listen to it right now. Sunspot, The Strangest Frequency. You're listening to Max Inc. Radio. We are local music.
Shop local, eat local, listen local. This is Max Inc. Radio. We are local music.